Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, a Tuesday night. We're usually coming at you on Monday nights, but I had a commitment I had to take care of last night, so we're here on a Tuesday night, and we damn near didn't make it tonight because internet issues, and that's always really fun. So we've got a patchwork together tonight to try to get us through this episode, and next week we promise some more new equipment is on the way. So, Blake, we made it. I didn't think we were going to, but we're here, so lots to talk about, actually.
Yeah, there is. Been grinding away, working out every day, meal prepping every day. Down 13 pounds since Christmas, so getting back in shape slowly but surely. And just been eating chicken and rice for lunch, and then for breakfast I got on the overnight oats train. So
the hell's that?
So you put like oats. It's like oats, apples, Greek yogurt, protein powder, cinnamon, vanilla, and then you just put it in the fridge and eat it the next day. It's really good.
When you say oats, what do you mean? Like
rolled oats.
Where the hell do you buy rolled oats?
It's from the dollar, like the Quaker stuff.
Oh, just like oatmeal oats?
Yeah, oatmeal oats, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know, like, because you could be Cheerio oats or...
Yeah, no, it's been going good, really good. We're doing like the staff and I, we're doing like Peloton bike workouts.
Yeah, that kicks your butt. Tough. Yeah, that's good for you though. It's really good for you.
Oh yeah, no, it gets the heart rate up, and I mean, yeah.
How many times a week are you doing that?
Every day, except Sunday, probably. Yeah. So I mean, last week I worked out 6 days, so. And then we go to Cranbrook Thursday, so probably try to hit the gym at the hotel. So
yeah, most hotels now have that, so it's nice.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. I've been eating really good, so that's the main goal.
So how's eating for you going to be when you're traveling with the team?
Oh, we eat pretty good. Like we have like protein bowls and burrito bowls and like chicken and rice mainly. I mean, the odd time, like the team will get pizza. And then the staff will just get like a salad. So we're trying to all stay away from that stuff. So no, it's been good.
It helps when you're doing it with other people too.
Yeah, no, they push me to work out and get up there, and no, it's been really good. And we're having a good season too. I mean, can't complain. Winning off the ice and off on the ice.
NFL playoffs.
Yes. Wild stuff.
Man. Was that not so Buffalo, though, to get screwed like that?
Yeah, but, like, I see it both ways. Like, I mean, Buffalo's probably celebrating, too, if they won the coin toss. Like, it's
absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not blaming Kansas City. I'm just, I don't even know if I'm blaming the overtime rules. I just feel like there should be something different, though.
Yeah, it sucks that, it sucks that like that a game that good has to end on a coin toss. That part's tough about it. But I mean, we got treated to two unreal games on Sunday. Like that was something else. Tom Brady almost coming back from 27-3 for the second time. Like
I am so glad that failed because I am so done with that guy.
You just have to admire what he's doing though. He's 44 years old, throwing for 5,500 yards.
He's the best quarterback ever, but he's also he's protected by the officials more than any quarterback has ever been protected in his life.
Hey, they gave him an unsportsmanlike
penalty. Yeah, because he had to.
I don't know, it's weird, but yeah, like two really good games. I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited for next weekend, or this weekend, I guess. Like Joe Burrow, I love a nice underdog story.
So who are you cheering for now? Like, I think I have to cheer for the Bengals. My son's a big Rams fan, so I wouldn't be upset to see them because he's been a Rams fan forever.
I would like to see the Bengals because, like I said, I like a little underdog story. And before this year, they haven't won a playoff game since in 31 years. So, like, I just like stories like that.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I like to see different teams.
It's a daunting task. I mean, they're going up against the Chiefs. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting.
You know, I watched an exciting hockey game last Wednesday night, and I was just going to check and see if you watched this one. But did you watch the Rangers-Toronto game last Wednesday night?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Rangers won 6-3.
Was that not like a good hockey game, though?
Yeah, it was a pretty good game.
It just kind of had everything, and I was like, when I was watching it, I'm like...
They're back and forth. It was kind of a run and gun. Toronto was up 3-1. Shocker. Blew the lead again. Suck on that, Leaf fans. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I mean... I think it was 5 games in a row they blew a 3-1 lead.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Leaf fans. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. It was a really good game. Jack Campbell, maybe a couple that he wanted back, but he didn't have much help, to be honest.
No. I saw something this weekend that I have never seen in my life in hockey.
What's that?
I didn't watch it. I just saw the box score and decided to dig into the box score a little bit. And have you ever heard of, in hockey, and this isn't a junior hockey, junior A level in the States, have you ever heard of a game with a score 9-7 with no empty netters and both the starting goalies stayed in the whole game?
Where did this happen?
In the North American League.
In Minot?
No.
Hmm.
Bismarck and North Iowa, 9-7.
Patrick Waugh, that's Patrick Waugh. I've got to be going up to the coach and saying, train both, me right now.
Both goalies did. Neither one got pulled.
9-7. A goalie got a win letting in 7 goals. That's wild.
I've never heard of that in my life. 16 combined goals and no one's pulled.
That's wild.
Holy shit. What are you thinking if you're the backup? Man, my coach has no faith in me. Like, what are you thinking? Holy shit.
I don't know.
He thinks I'm worse than this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Keith Yandel breaks the record tonight, 965.
Jarvis. What's his first name? Doug Jarvis.
Doug. Do you think that'll ever be broken? I mean, do you think Kessel will do it? I don't.
I think Kessel will break Jarvis's record. I don't think he's catching Yandel.
Well, I think Yandel won't probably play a game next week.
What do you mean?
He's atrocious this year. He's like minus 21.
The whole Philadelphia Flyers are atrocious.
I know.
They've lost 13 games. They just lost again today to the Islanders. They've 13 had, games in a row.
They've had two
separate 12-game losing streaks this year. Two.
Unreal.
I've never seen anything like that.
I haven't either. It's unreal.
That's
unreal.
Actually insane.
Unreal.
And I thought they had one of the best off seasons in the league.
Well, we're going to talk about that here in a minute because I believe your predictions have them finishing higher than you're going to want to admit.
We both have them in the playoffs.
We do. I know. I'm not comparing you to me on this one. We're both stupid.
Don't compare apples to oranges when they're both apples. So don't be doing that.
No, but wait till you hear a couple of your other ones, though. All right, it's going to be a doozy. First, we're talking on the show about the Edmonton Oilers and what's going to happen with the Oilers. What direction is that team going to go? We'll talk NHL midseason report cards, go around the league, assistant GM and GM, just hired in Vancouver, Carolina Twitter, questionable hits, goalie depth, and, yeah, some league guideline changes. All right, let's talk Edmonton Oilers. And this week was a ridiculously crazy week in Edmonton sports news. It was unreal. It started.
The Flames had a chance to just pour gas on the fire, and they gave them some life.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. And we'll see if the life continues. And they may just have given them life. But
watching the game right now,
When you look at this, they started the season 16-5-0. And then they rolled off a 2-11-2 slide. During that same time, the Avalanche went 16-1-2. I mean, complete role reversal. This team was in shambles. They want Tippett fired. Koskinen has been awful. He's been crucified in the media time and time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. And then the media craziness of Leon Draisaitl getting into a pissing match with Edmonton beat writer Jim Matheson. What did you think on that whole pissy thing?
Well, I'd ask you the same question. Why are you so pissy? I don't know. It's just a frustrated player in a Canadian market that there's a lot of pressure to play in. And to me, I thought Draisaitl handled it pretty well. Because I mean, if you're Jim Matheson, like, don't even ask a follow-up question.
No.
Yeah. Why are you being so pissy? Yeah, you are. Oh, I answered your question. Not a very good one. Okay. And then for him to go, yeah, I have one more for you. Don't even ask him the question. He's not in a good mood.
I know. I agree. I'm with you on that. I agree with you. But I'm going to throw a flip side to that. This team has had the two best hockey players on it for a number of years. And I know they haven't been given defense and they haven't been given goaltending. But at some point, you've got to take the heat, don't you? At some point, bullshit. McDavid and Draisaitl haven't taken the heat. It's been all redirected. Koskinen, defense, Barry. It's all redirected. When's the last time you heard Edmonton media say Draisaitl and McDavid need to do their part?
I mean, everybody knows that they're not playing well and they're not playing up to their standards. But I mean, you don't think they know that? You don't think they look at Twitter?
For sure they do.
Social media and look at the standings and
for sure they do. And I don't think there's an answer to the questions that most media members ask that's going to solve the world. Because if one of the players' answers was going to solve the world, they'd do it, right?
Yeah.
So most interviews you hear are fluff.
Right.
Whether a team's doing good or bad, it's fluff. It's right. Media fluff. I hate interviews. I don't take any stake in them at all, whether it's a player or a coach or anything, because they're not going to say what they're talking about in the locker room.
funny, I think it was after the 7-0 loss to Florida, and all the attention was on the media. What are they going to ask the players today? First question out of old, what's his name's mouth? So, take me inside the locker room. What's being said right now? No player is going to tell you what is happening in the locker room.
But Blake,
a bozo question.
Blake, you do this job. You do this job.
I would never ask that question.
Would you just
the number one question not to ask?
So would you just cower out and just throw softballs at him? I'm just saying.
I honestly don't know what I would say, but that certainly ain't it.
I mean, but and I'm not knocking your interviews. I'm not knocking anybody's interviews because we've all been there. But when you ask players questions and you see these post game interviews and stuff, they're a joke. They're a joke. The questions you ask, the questions I ask, the questions everybody asks in post-game interviews are jokes.
And it's almost like the Oilers media was just like timid.
They're mad. They're mad. This media group is mad because they had the two best players in the league on in their organization, and they're still reporting on 10-game losing streaks. Think about them. This is their career too. After so many years, you've got to be like, son of a bitch, I got to go to the arena today and watch these numbskulls kick a football around the hockey rink again. and lose 10 again and have the best top, two of the top four leading goal scorers on the team, and we still can't freaking win a hockey game? Like, it's got to be frustrating for them, too. It's frustrating for the organization, the management, the players, the fans, freaking everybody.
Yeah. No, no, I get it.
So it's like tough to even come up with good questions. You know, and at what point you just say, well, we're not taking questions today. Is that an option? I don't know. I don't know. I think Matheson pushed it a little too far. But I also think that it's like, at a certain point, an organization's got to get called out on the carpet, too. So it's a double-edged sword. Let's talk about other teams doing good and other teams. Oh, wait. We got one more thing to talk about with the Oilers. So they beat the Flames, right? In a game they were severely outplayed and outshot. And Koskinen basically wins them the game.
Yeah. Wasn't it 2-0?
Yeah. And then Koskinen made like three or four. Then they got Edmonton scored two power play goals on point shots that ricocheted off 17 things. And so it's 2-2. And then Pisani scored a great goal. He just freaking ripped one top corner.
Then Pisani?
Yeah, no shit. It was a good goal.
Pisani played in like 2005.
I'm thinking Fernando Pisani.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, God. Pull him out. Pull him up here.
Perlini?
Perlini scored like four times.
God. Do some research, my guy.
What? Pisani, do you even remember him?
He's off the 06 Cup team.
I know. I remember him.
He had 14 goals that year.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
Yeah. He was decent.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a goal off him, then Hanifin ties it up late, and then Draisaitl scores with like 5 minutes to go, and then they get an empty netter. Does that change their fortune? We'll find out tonight as they play Vancouver. Or is it just...
Vancouver is just a joke right now with COVID again.
Well, I know, but still, though, Edmonton, I mean, you don't...
If Edmonton beats Vancouver tonight, I don't think they're... Like, they're missing Horvat, Garland, Demko, like...
No, I know, Blake. But it still is... But it doesn't matter in the standings. It still is a confidence booster, right? Yeah. It's still a step in the right direction for the Oilers. Yeah. Now, just what the doctor ordered was them to play a rivalry game that they have no problem getting up for. Because you know what?
Alberta.
It doesn't matter if Edmonton's in first and Calgary's in last. Edmonton's going to get, if it's Battle of Alberta, both teams are going to get the best out of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So you can almost throw standings out the window when those two teams play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll see what happens when Edmonton comes to Calgary, but it'll be a good game. They usually are. But I don't know. Do the Oilers fall back into their own badness, or do they find their way now?
Here's the $1 million question everybody needs to know. Are the Oilers the 15-5 team, or no, are they the 2-11-2 team?
I would say they're somewhere in between.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I think they're borderline playoff team. I think they can make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a battle between Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver. I do.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all four of those may not get in there. I guess we'll talk about that in a second. But I don't know. Let's roll into that. Mid-season report cards. I can't believe it's mid-season now. Some teams it's not quite mid-season because some teams are, you know, still five. Well, the Islanders are 8 games behind the Rangers. So there is a discrepancy in games. We got NHL trade deadline coming at us March 21st. So, and a lot of games to be played now with when we were going to have an Olympic break, and we aren't now. So that'll be interesting as teams catch up. But let's kind of roll through each division and look at what our predictions were compared to where we're at now. And try not to make too much fun, but just kind of interesting to see how things are. In the Eastern and the Metro, right now, the top four teams are the Rangers, Penguins, Carolina, and Washington. And we had, we're not doing so hot here. We both had the Islanders in first. Oh, we're not looking good there at all.
No.
We both had Carolina at second, and they're sitting in third, which I think they'll finish in second because I think they're better than Pittsburgh.
Although
they're games behind. So, I had the Rangers, or you had the Islanders, Carolina, Rangers, and Philly, and so you're 2 for 4. I had the Islanders, Carolina, Philly, and Washington, so I'm 2 for 4.
Mm-hmm.
I guess our big embarrassments are both the Islanders and the Flyers. I had the Flyers 3rd, you had them 4th, and that team, we talked about them earlier in the show. I mean, can you get any worse than the Philadelphia Flyers right now?
Nope. Yeah, they've lost 12 games in a row twice, I think. So, yeah, it's been tough.
Where does this team go? Like, what do you do? Do you sell off everybody? Or what do you do if you're the Flyers?
I think you trade Giroux. I think Giroux could go to Colorado if they retain.
Yeah. Do you think that's somebody Colorado wants, though?
I think so. I think so, yeah. Like they,
so do you think Colorado's willing to give up? Like, what do you think? What do you have to give up to get a Drew?
First round pick.
It won't be more
maybe
than that.
Like a maybe like a Tyson Jones type.
So you're gonna have to give. You think they're gonna have to give that much up for Claude Giroux on an expiring contract? I know, but in a month he may not be.
Brad. Somebody is going to pay the Montreal Canadiens a first-round pick for Ben Chiarot. Just think about that. And we're talking about Claude Giroux. Think about that. Put that in perspective.
Do you think Ben Chiarot's that bad, though?
Ben Chiarot's going to get fetch a first-round pick.
I know, but defensemen usually garner pretty...
Claude Giroux's been a 100-point guy.
Been a 100-point guy.
Yeah, I'm not saying he is now, but I'm like he's that would be an unreal get for Colorado.
Yeah. How many teams do you think want him?
Who knows? Did you think that 6 teams would be lining up for JT Miller right now?
I love that. God, you seriously going to bring that up now?
I'm just saying. People don't like his attitude, but they see his talent.
Yeah, but you're right. Game
player on a good contract.
I think a lot of teams want JT Miller, but if the Canucks think they're going to get what the Canucks fans think they're going to get, they're out of their mind.
They're going to get 2 first round assets for him.
Bullshit.
You're gonna get. Think about it. If Eichel got 4 first round assets,
you're not even putting Eichel in the same sentence as JT Miller.
I'm saying he's going to get 2.
2 first round picks? Are you drunk?
Like a first round pick and a top prospect, yeah.
You're out of your stinking mind.
No, I'm not. Watch, when JT Miller gets traded for a first round pick and a top prospect, I'm going to say I told you so, because it's going to happen. Would you pay a first for Ben Chiarot?
Before JT Miller, I would, yeah.
You're funny.
Playoffs for one on the back end, man.
Okay.
What has JT Miller done lately?
Been a point-a-game guy since he's gone to Vancouver. What do you mean? He's got 39 points in 39 games, Brad. And he drives the whole offense.
So why is Vancouver going to get rid of him?
Because their window is not to win right now.
What's their window to do?
In 2 to 3 years.
Their window was last year, you told me. You were like gung-ho, ready to win the cup last year.
No, I was not.
No, but JT Miller was a piece to win the cup.
Yeah, now he's going to be almost 30 years old, and he needs to get paid next year. And I don't think the Canucks want to pay him $7.5 million. I don't. So they're going to trade him and get something for him and get assets.
Yeah. Another team we were both wrong on in the Metro is Pittsburgh. I had Pittsburgh in 6th, and you had them in 6th also. Why is Pittsburgh proving us so wrong?
I didn't know what Jari was going to be this year.
He's been good.
He's very good. He's probably a top 10 goalie. They just got Gino back, and he's just looks like he hasn't missed a beat. Like, who thought that a 1 year, $1 million Evan Rodriguez deal would just be the best deal of all time?
He's fun to watch, too.
He's
a good hockey player.
One of the best signings of the year.
Oh, yeah. Probably. Like, who'd be better? Can you think of one?
I think he's almost got 20 goals.
He's been very, very good, and he's a fun player to watch. And I don't know. I mean, this team was kind of put out to the pasture beginning of the season, and they've done a lot of this year without Crosby and Malkin even.
Yeah, at all. Like, guys like Rust, Gensel was hurt for a long stretch. I mean, it's just a bunch of guys kind of thrown into a blender, and, like, they just figure out a way to get it done. Credit to who is their head coach? Sullivan?
That's how bad, that's how irrelevant it is. We don't even know their coaches anymore. Isn't that something?
Gosh. Yeah.
Let's move on over to the Atlantic and talk a little bit about that. Is we're not too far off on this. We both had Tampa in first, Florida in second. They're both right there, tied for first and second. So we're not too far off. We had Toronto in third. We're looking good in this division. We both had Boston in fourth. We've got this nailed so far. Mm-hmm. I had Montreal in fifth, which that was a disaster. You had them in sixth. So I had Ottawa in sixth. You had Ottawa in fifth. That we're both wrong on those two pretty heavily. And then we both had Detroit, Buffalo bringing up the rear, and we're not too far off there. They're still pretty bad. Detroit has been a lot more. I don't know, it's a lot more better. That's a horrible ground.
They're a lot better than we expect.
They're better than we expected, but they're a lot more exciting to watch than I ever anticipated.
Yeah, like we kind of figured they would be like decent, but I didn't think their young guys would be good this quick.
No, I didn't either.
Like I predicted Moritz Seider to get 40 points this year, but I didn't think Lucas Raymond would just burst on the scene like he has.
They're way more impactful than I ever thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's talk Central Division in the Western Conference. As it sits right now, Colorado in first. We both had that correct. We were wrong on second. We both had Winnipeg. Winnipeg's sitting in sixth right now, losing again to Florida tonight.
They lost. Yeah, 5-3.
I look at this roster and I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand why this team isn't better than what they are. We both had St. Louis in third. They're in second currently. We had both had Dallas in fourth. They're in fifth right now. I think Dallas falls off. I do.
What place are they in?
They're in fifth. We had them in fourth. I think Dallas falls down. I do. I don't know how much further they can fall down. They're not going to fall down to Chicago, Arizona, but I still think Winnipeg finishes ahead of them. I do. I don't know why.
Yeah, Winnipeg's too good not to sneak in. You know what I mean? Like
Minnesota's. Like Winnipeg just. I mean, you look at their depth, and it's like they check all the boxes. They have great goaltending, but they just, I don't know, they can't put it together this year for some reason. They just can't get it done, and I don't understand why. I watch them, they seem exciting, they seem dynamic, but they find a way to lose. And I think, you know, I think that defensive problem that we talked about a lot last year that surprised us so much last year is haunting them this year.
Yeah, like, they have such a good group, though. It's like, they almost leave you just wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah. They got a really good top nine. Like, they got one of the best goalies in the league. And, like, it just doesn't make sense why they lose so much.
Their fan base has got to be pulling their hair out because.
Oh, yeah.
Like, gosh, you couldn't almost build a better team. And then it's like, what is
going on? And it's all homegrown, too.
I know.
All homegrown. Kopp. The only guy that's not homegrown, really, is Wheeler and Nate Schmidt. Who else?
And neither one of them have been good this year.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
You know.
I don't have an answer for that. Minnesota's been really good.
Minnesota, we both had them in fifth, and they're in fourth, and I don't know if this team doesn't keep moving up. This team's a good hockey team. 6-2-2 in their last 10. They're a +34 goal differential. They can do it all. They're tough for their physical. They've been getting adequate to decent goaltending, and they score.
Yeah, Talbot's been hurt as of late, so they're like relying on Kakanen. So that's something to keep an eye on, see if he can continue.
In the Pacific, now this is the division where everything is freaking wonky and crazy, and I don't even know what to make of it. There's teams that are far behind, and I really don't know where this one's going to go. Vegas sits in top in first, and we both had them pick to go first, and I don't see that changing at all. I don't think any of these teams are good enough to catch or even compete with Vegas at this point. Anaheim currently sits in second. I had Anaheim in fifth. You had Anaheim in seventh. You're not looking too good in there. I'm not looking a hell of a lot better. LA sits in third. I had them in sixth. You had them in fifth. Calgary currently sits in fourth. I had them in fourth, and you had them in fourth. San Jose sits fifth. I had San Jose in eighth, and you had them in eighth. Edmonton sits sixth. We both had them in second. And that's, you know, we talked about that just a little bit ago.
Yeah, let's see.
Team continues to underachieve. I look at the standings now, and between second and seventh, there's
Second and sixth.
Yeah, well, the sixth and seventh both had the same amount of points, 40 points.
So, yeah, I guess.
I mean, there are 9 points of difference there. I think it's completely could be any three teams fighting of those six that could slam their way into the second, third, and fourth spot. If I had to pick tonight, I would say Anaheim, Calgary, and Vancouver are my teams that get in.
I think so. Yeah, we'll see. The Canucks just got to kind of survive without their guys right now. Like I said, they're losing Horvat, Miller, Demko. So
what point does Vancouver make their decisions?
I don't know. They just – you want to talk about them now? I mean, they just brought in – they just hired a GM, and they just hired an assistant GM.
We'll roll on that in a minute. I got a second.
Like, I don't know. Like, it's going to be interesting to see. I think their GM's press conference is tomorrow, so it'll kind of be interesting to see, like, what his plans are, his vision, and stuff like that. And then I'll answer – I don't have an answer for you now because I have no idea.
You know, let's talk a little bit about players and what players are surprising us the most this year. Alex Ovechkin, Leon Draisaitl, and Jonathan Huberdeau lead the league in points. And I believe, like, that in our 10 crazy prediction show, who did I have as the leading scorer in the league?
It better not have been Ovechkin.
Jonathan Huberdeau.
I'll give you that.
Now, I'm not saying it'll end that way. Nazem Kadri sits at 50.
How impressive is it, though, that 36-year-old old man Ovi's at the top of the points.
Oh, for sure.
Incredible.
How incredible is it, though, that this guy's been in the league for freaking 15 years and no coach has figured out to guard him, like put a man straight on him on the power play yet? Have you figured that one out?
Yeah. it's tough. Like, Washington's power play is so good, you can't do that.
Well, if
you put one guy in Ovi, Backstrom and Oshie will do their magic down low, and you're screwed.
If you look, though, their power play is not good this year.
It's not, but...
It's not good. That power play gets going and he starts scoring, holy hell, how many points is he going to get?
He starts scoring, you know... Like,
because their power play is junk this year.
If Ovi keeps scoring at this rate, he might break Wayne Gretzky's record this season.
Yeah.
You still don't think he's breaking her, eh?
No, I don't. I don't.
You donkey.
I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying I just think something's going to happen where he won't.
You're a donkey.
I don't. You know, it's good to see Steven Stamkos back up in the leaders of the points. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I'd see Timo Meier up there, but he is.
When you're scoring 5 goals in a game, like, jeez.
In goals, it's cool to see Troy Terry up towards the top with 23. Chris Kreider leads the league. Did you see that one coming? Because I didn't. Alex DeBrincat, 24 goals, and rumors flying this week that he could be on the trade market for NHL trade deadline. I don't see that happening, but you never know. Thomas Hertl, another name up towards the top at 21 goals. He could be on the move. Lots of interesting... stats for players this year. Vasilevsky leads the league in wins, Markstrom in shutouts, goals against. You know, Toronto, Frederik Andersen leads it. He's not in Toronto anymore, but...
But Campbell's been just as good.
Yes, he's been really good too. But...
So it's not too
much. You know what I mean, though? It seems like Toronto fans always figure a way to blame their goalie. You ever notice that? That was kind of goes back to the goalie. It's like, oh, wait a second,
Vancouver was the same way. They ran Luongo right out of town.
How about UC Saros? Is he a guy that shocked you? He's blowing the door.
He didn't really shock me, to be honest, because he's just so athletic and he's just like.
Yeah, I know, but we both had.
You know who he reminds me of? Is Jonathan Quick when Quick was young. That's who he reminds me of. Just the way he moves in the net and he's undersized, but he's so quick.
But Blake, we both picked Nashville to finish horrendous this year, and we both pointed to goaltending.
I like their goaltending. I just didn't like up front. I don't know.
Not sure. Interesting to see how it all works out. Our predictions weren't horrible this year, but not great either. So we'll see how they pan out as we head into the playoffs. All right, Blake. Let's go around the league and talk about some different news and happenings in the league. And let's start with the Canucks. And they named their assistant GM yesterday and then named their GM today. Let's talk a little bit about that. And since you're the Canucks guy, I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, I don't know much about Patrick Alvin, the GM they just hired. That just broke right before our podcast, so I'll have to do some research on him. But I did some reading up on Emily Castonguay, and seems like she's been well respected everywhere she's been, and she is a player agent, a lawyer with a degree. I mean it's an interesting hire for sure, but. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it pays off.
I have one question. I feel like this, and this is so Vancouverish. This is not done completely ass backwards. We hire our coach first. We hire our assistant GM second, and we hire our GM third.
Okay, but dude, Rutherford's been a GM. He's calling all the shots. So
then is the GM just not really a GM? He's just going to have he's a figurehead? Because if I'm a GM and they're hiring me to come in and manage the team, I'm picking my assistant and I'm picking my head coach.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Alvin had a say in some of that. I mean, you don't think that. Rutherford was saying, hey, like, this is who we're thinking about bringing in for, this is who we think about we're bringing in for assistance, this is who we're thinking, this is our coach. I mean, like.
Why didn't they hire him first then?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? But you have to agree, it seems a little.
It is a little backwards, yes, but, like, I think that they're finally bringing in smart people. I mean, Rutherford, Boudreaux, like. At least they're thinking this out and not making any rashes.
Well, you didn't hire Yogi Bear. Okay, what did you think? No matter who they hire, Blake, you're going to say that.
We'll see. Like, I don't know the direction. I do think that one forward has to go for a top 4D, whether that's Brock Besser or whether that's JT Miller, I don't know. One of them has to go because they won't be able to afford to keep both. So one has to go for a D-man with control, preferably right-handed. Like, do you trade?
You went and got your top D man last year in Ekman Larson, right?
Yeah, we need some help on the right side, though.
So how much money are you going to stick into your D?
Well, they got to find the Canucks' goal this offseason should just be to do exhaust every single option to try to get rid of Tyler Myers. Like, just exhaust everything.
You would have to take him out back and shoot him. To get rid of him, because nobody's taking him.
Arizona would love to have him. And also, after July 1st, his last $6 million signing bonus is paid, so his actual dollar is significantly less than that the last 2 years of his deal. So that's something to
well, if there's a bright spot in the shitty thing, and I'll still never forget the day they signed him. Good signing. It's a good signing.
I never said that. You still haven't showed me tape.
I'm going to find that. You know what?
Okay, it's starting to piss me off more. You go back and find it.
It's starting to piss me off more. I know I have that. I know I have.
Okay, you've been saying that for a year, and I still haven't seen any evidence, so you're full of shit.
God. So, okay, let me ask you this. Let's pretend you were hired as a GM. Are you going rebuild mode, or are you tweaking?
No, you just retool. You got good pieces in place. You got an elite goaltender. You got Horvat, Pettersson down the middle. You got Quinn Hughes, Oliver Ekman-Larsson on the back end. I mean, you got Pod Coles and Hoglander. You got Connor Garland locked in for 4 years. I think that you just gotta find players that complement the star players, and then you go from there. I would trade guys like Tanner Pearson. I like I said, I'd move one of JT Miller or Brock Besser for a defenseman, and go from there. I mean, like I said, they're going to be building to have success in 2 to 3 years. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. Probably not unless they get really hot again. But Jim Rutherford, I think he's got a good vision here. He's built teams in the past in Pittsburgh and Carolina. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Talk to me a little bit about this goalie depth getting tested in Vancouver due to COVID.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're Demko's got COVID. Halak's symptom-free, but he's stuck in the States. Like, just stupid. I don't understand. Like, and Bruce Boudreau made the comment. Like, I don't understand how COVID is any different than in Canada than in the States. Like, it's like, what's the big deal here?
We have 80,000 like, people at a football game the other day, like, and everybody's okay.
It's like, okay, yeah, quarantine in 5 days in the States, but you got to quarantine for 5 more in Canada. That's not good enough. It's like, what?
Do you know? Insane. So, okay, I got a question for you. This is a hypocrisy. A friend of mine, his brother came down from Canada for Christmas. While in the U.S., completely healthy, goes to get his test to go back, test positive. So the Canadian government makes him sit down here for 14 days, right? And then he's allowed to drive home. Now that he's back up in Canada, I asked my friend, is your brother coming down anytime soon? And he says to me, well, hell yeah. He says, get this, up in Canada, if you have a positive test, you're free to go do whatever you want for 6 months, and you don't have to get tested, you don't have to do shit. In and out of the country for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
What? When we know you can get this more than once, and you made, Jesus, I'm like, that makes absolutely no sense. It makes about as much sense.
Your boy, Justin Trudeau.
It makes about as much sense as in Calgary they couldn't sell concessions the other night, but they put community water jugs out. Where do you think you're going to get more chance of getting COVID? From a community water jug? Stupid. Okay, moving on. We're not talking about COVID tonight. I hate talking about that. Carolina's Twitter this week, they put on there, they beat Boston 7-1, and they put L stands for Lamborghini. And Brad Marchand fires back with something that I cannot believe doesn't get talked about more amongst players. He writes back, you're the reason we pay 20% in escrow.
Okay, so let's go back to the main part of the story. Listeners might be a little confused. So Vincent Trocheck got asked if his game compares to Brad Marchand. And Vincent Trocheck goes, are you calling me a rat? And Brad Marchand responds to that, me comparing me to Trocheck is like comparing a Prius to a Lamborghini. And then Trocheck scores the next day against Boston, and Carolina Twitter goes, Prius over Lamborghini. So it's just a shit show.
I love it.
Funny.
I love
good
it.
Good comedy.
I love
good
it.
Good comedy.
But Did you see Calgary's? Justin Falk says he's.
Yeah, I can understand why they need to get out of Canada quick. Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny too, from a Twitter that's pretty boring in Calgary. Yeah, that might be the first funny thing they posted in 10 years.
It was clever. I mean, I don't know what Calgary did to piss him off. Like, geez.
No, it wasn't Calgary. But he just doesn't want to go up to Canada because of all the bullshit.
No, I know. Like, but like. St. Louis looked pretty good against Vancouver. Then the Calgary blew the damn doors off.
You see what shots were last night? They were at the in the end of the second period. Shots were 41-9.
For who? Calgary?
Mm-hmm. After two periods. I don't know. I it's crazy. Anyways, do you think, this is a quick question before we roll on to the next part of this, but do you think that because of the stuff that we're, that, like Justin Falk said about Canada, do you think it's going to be harder for Canadian teams to sign free agents? Because I do. I do.
I mean, it's always
harder.
It's always tougher because of the taxes. I mean,
well,
and then the pandemic, the way they've handled it, just
it's going to magnify
adds to the fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to.
It's there's some great markets in Canada, but I mean, the way that the taxes are here, it's kind of insane. That's why all the Canadian teams have to overpay to get free agents.
Yeah, you're right. Garnet Hathaway had a hit on Marchand this week. We'll continue our talking about him. Did you think that was dirty?
Are you talking the one in the nose?
Nope. Marchand kind of was right around in the corner of the zone corner, and Hathaway caught him, and Marchand left the game with an upper body injury. Did play the next night, but
I didn't see that. No, I have to go back and look.
No suspension, no fine. I didn't. It was slightly questionable, but the one I couldn't believe was, did you see Jonathan Drouin freaking cross check Sagan in the face?
Yeah, he got fined
$5,000 only. Now, if that's...
Hold on. How about this?
If that's not a suspension, though, holy shit.
How about this? Did you see what Aaron Dell did to Drake Batherson?
I didn't see it. I heard about it tonight. I have to watch it on the highlights later.
It is so bad. And Drake Batherson's out long-term. Like,
so did anybody go after Dell?
So Aaron Dell's to the right of his net, okay? And Drake Batherson, like, the puck... Aaron Dell doesn't have the puck, okay? He's on the corner of his crease watching his defensive goal line that pick it up. Batherson's, I think it's Dalene behind the net going to pick up the puck. Batherson's right on his tail. And Dell just sticks out his elbow right to Batherson's face. And he goes in the board's feet. It was so dirty. It was so dirty.
Did anybody go after Dell?
I don't think so. I'm like,
your best player on your team gets cheap shotted by the goalie.
If goalies want to pull that shit, teams will just fucking start running them.
I know.
Running goalies.
I know. And you know what? The thing is, refs will quit protecting them.
Because, like, it's like if the goalies get protected so much, I'm a big goalie guy. And I'm all for, like, if the goalie's in his crease, like, you can't touch him.
I'm fine with that.
That's his spot. And behind the net, not in the trapezoid, you can't touch the goalie. And you don't start doing that shit.
Well, like, when players start getting laid out by goalies, then the rules change.
If
a player does that, he gets suspended. It'll be interesting to see if Dell gets suspended.
I hope he does. It was dirty.
Yeah.
It was so dirty.
Two quick things, and we're going to roll on into three questions. League did change some things. We're going to get some schedule stability. The new announcement for the makeup games has been posted. Lots of teams with lots of games coming up, so it's going to be busy. Some busy nights watching games on TV and getting out to the arenas because it's action-packed from here on out. And it also was announced that the NHL will no longer test asymptomatic players after All-Star break. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Common sense.
Common sense finally starts to rain. All right, Blake, you ready for three questions?
Let's do it.
It's time for three questions.
My turn to ask the questions this week. Question number one, Blake. Yeah. I like my three questions this week, too, by the way. Question number one. The Buffalo Sabres announced this week that they will be bringing back the old red and black Buffalo head jersey as a third jersey next season. Is this a good move, and do you like this jersey?
That is a great move, and I hope it is a step that they make those their permanent jerseys.
Oh, God, Blake. No. I love the blue the way they have it now. I love their jerseys right now. It's classic.
You don't like the red?
I do. I think it's a fine third jersey.
It's like
but their jersey now is Buffalo Sabres.
It's like the Canucks. Like their skate jersey is just so much better.
It is so much better, but that's different. That Canucks jersey is so much better, but
I like them. I like the like because I grew up with that jersey
with the goat head.
I got a little more bias maybe, but yeah. I like that. Like I remember like Thomas Vanek and Miller in those uniforms and Stafford and RJ Umberger getting knocked out in the blue line and
that was Ryan he was in a Campbell. When RJ Umberger got knocked out, he was a flyer.
Oh no, that's what I mean. Like Brian Campbell hit him though. Like on Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. So I mean, yeah, I like those jerseys.
Question number two. The Calder Trophy race is going to be interesting this year. Does Trevor Zegras of Anaheim win out over the two rookie wonders in Detroit?
I don't know. Like, it's going to be Sider, Raymond, and
Zegras.
Zegras, right?
Yeah, I think Zegras is going to get it.
You think so?
Yeah, and I don't know if he deserves it, but I think he will get it.
I think Raymond deserves it right now.
We'll see.
Like he's been really good. Like
I have something.
Hold on. What about this goalie from Arizona?
God, nobody from Arizona is getting shit this year.
Listen,
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I'm just saying nobody in Arizona is getting shit this year.
Listen, that guy. Pretty damn good.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something here. I found something, an interesting fact, and that's what spurred this question on. Just listen to this, Blake. The last five times a Red Wings rookie was up for the Calder.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to how crazy this is. In 83-84, Steve Yzerman lost to Tom Barrasso.
Yeah.
Steve Yzerman turned out to be a better player.
Yeah.
In 1991, Sergei Fedorov lost to Ed Belfour. Ed Belfour was a great hockey player. Sergei Fedorov was probably better. That's the closest one there. In 91-92, Nick Lidstrom lost out to Pavel Bure.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But Nick Lidstrom ended up being a much better long-term player.
Sure.
In 02-03... Hendrik Zetterberg lost out to Barrett Jackman.
Hey, Barrett Jackman was a good player. Come on.
Okay, who was better? I'm talking long term. And in 09-10, here's the one. This one, you can take this one. Write this one down and put it under your pillow tonight. Jimmy Howard lost out to Tyler Myers.
Leave Tyler Myers alone. The Chaos Draft does not need your shit.
All right, Blake. Question number three. This will even get you going more. As most listeners know, you are a Canucks fan and I am a Flames fan. Blake, if you could pick one player from the Calgary Flames, who would you choose?
Johnny Gaudreau.
Really?
I don't know.
Come on. That's a legitimate question. I'll answer your
back. If I had to pick one guy to have on my team?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll just do a redo of the 2016 draft. We'll take a Chuck. You can have Ulevi.
I don't want Ulevi. Nobody wants Ulevi.
Florida did. Come on.
Did you see Ulevi the other night when he played against when Florida played Calgary in the first shift out? Ulevi blew an edge in the corner and just smashed his face into the boards. He stands up and the puck comes right to him and Lucic drills. He goes off to the bench like, holy shit, what just happened to me? Okay.
So who would you pick?
Who would I pick from the Canucks? I don't know, JT Miller.
Calgary's rumored to be interested.
I know. I wouldn't be upset.
Jacob Pelletier in a first, and you can have him.
You're not getting even close to that. I wouldn't mind JT Miller. I don't know. My heart says Brock Besser because I love Brock Besser, but he would not be the best player to get. Probably Bo Horvat.
Yeah. Bo's good, really good.
I just think he's more complete.
He's such a dominant center.
All right.
Can do it all, wins a lot of draws. And
my listen.
Plays the bumper so well, too, which is such an underrated spot.
My listener question this week was kind of a question I morphed out of two questions on Facebook. What is your biggest pet peeve in hockey?
When people talk during a live game.
Oh, I just thought of a new one. Blake.
Drives me in fucking sane. I sat with my sister one game and she fucking asked me, who's that? Who's that?
Oh, I don't
who's
like that this? Either.
Oh, my God.
I think 80% of the people that go to hockey games don't even watch the game.
Just sit there. Don't go on your phone.
Oh.
Maybe you go on your phone during, like, intermission or whatever.
Well, yeah,
Or TV timeout. Oh, my God. It drives me insane.
You want to know? I have three of them, Blake. I wrote down three of them. My number one. Idiots who bang on the glass. Don't understand that.
Yeah, they pay good bucks for those, though.
I just don't understand that. Number two, it's a pet peeve of mine, is watching road teams wear white for jerseys. I hate that. And then it bothers me that you can ice it on a penalty kill.
It would be interesting if, like...
Have you ever, in any sport ever before, been able to commit a penalty and then have another illegal act okayed while you're... This doesn't make sense to me. But banging on the glass freaking pisses me off, man. I hate it. God. Oh, it bothers me. Well, I'm glad we got tonight's show, and I didn't think we were. We're back next week. Monday night is our normal night for the show, and that's what we're going to do. Blake, I know you got a jam-packed week as you head on the road for a road trip. A home game Wednesday night, road trip Friday, Saturday. Good luck at that.
Thank you.
We're in the dog days of January, man. Finally, though, we got consistent NHL action every single night on TV. Sit back, stay warm, stay healthy. Can we quit saying that? Don't stay healthy. Drink a beer, watch the hockey game, have a good time. Enjoy this week's action. We're back next week to talk a little bit more hockey with you. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.